Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
The work that's on this particular album is literally like 8 years in the making.
Hey, this is a really special and fun episode of Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us, Patrick, is John Rossman, a.k.a., for longtime listeners, Intern John.
That's right.
Hey, John.
What's up, gentlemen?
Great to see you, John.
It's great to be seen, and great to see you guys. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it has been. And you got some exciting stuff going on, so this is going to be really fun.
Yeah, it's been a busy year.
This is cool. So John, it's been a few years ago, helped us out with some podcast editing back in the day. He was great at it, and he launched his own podcast, music podcast, yep, with a couple other guys called You Should Check It Out, which is awesome. And that's still going today, right?
Every week.
And yeah, that's really cool. And he's also an accomplished musician, and we're going to talk about that today, a new album by his band Sleepers. And I think what we should do, Patrick,
okay,
so we're going to talk about the various songs on this album. We're going to go track by track of this 11 song album, but I think before we get too much into reacquainting the audience with John, let's hear a song.
Sounds good.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so track one on Sleepers 2, the new album, came out about a month ago, is called Structural Integrity, parentheses, for L Hat. All right, John, what is structural integrity for L Hat? What does that mean?
Do I have to divulge all my secrets right up front? No, that's this is kind of speaks to how long this album has been, how long it took to get this album out the door. That that song title came from my son when he was about 3 years old. He's eight now, but when he was about three years old, he, yeah, exactly. he was obsessed with Mario and Luigi. So he had these little plastic toys. He had a Mario toy and a Luigi toy. And he would play with them so hard that he would rip the head off of Luigi all the time. And so I had to glue the head back on, and then he would rip it off the next day. So I had to put some popsicle sticks in the neck cavity and glue it all together. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he called them M-hat and L-hat. So this was structural integrity for L-hat. Yeah.
That's an even better story than I imagined.
I love that.
That's the most common question I've gotten about this album so far. I don't know what that says about the album.
Well, okay, but let's talk about the music here real quickly. So the first thing that jumps out at me listening to Sleepers and listening to this album is just like how rhythmically interesting these songs are. So tell me how important that is to you guys, or how do you approach the how do you approach sort of like the beats of the song, or what they, you know, the structural integrity of these songs, right?
Oh, well, that's awesome for you to say, because that's something that kind of binds us all together, is we love weird rhythms and weird time signatures, and, you know, we're all big Frank Zappa fans, and, you know, big fans of like bands like the Dismemberment Plan, who it's, you know, very rhythm heavy, very odd time signatures. So that's a lot of times when we're starting a new riff, one of us will start in an odd time signature and see where it goes. So yeah, this was a groove. I think it's in 7. But we don't do it just to do it per se. If there's not a groove there, it's not worth doing an odd time signature. So, and we're lucky to have a very good drummer in one of my longtime friends. I've been friends with him since we were both about 14 or 15. He's the first drummer I ever got to play with, is my friend Nick Klein. And, you know, we've stayed close friends, and he just gets that kind of stuff. He's able to just pick it up and run with it really quickly.
That's so cool, because I found myself as a listener with some music theory background, but not a ton, trying to figure it out, you know, and I'm good at, like, you know, songs that are in 4, that's easy, or songs that are in 3, I can figure that out, but they get, you know, any other numbers, I'm trying to, like, what is this? And where should my, you know, head be? Where should the, you know, beat in my head go and everything? And then finally I'm like, it doesn't really matter. Just enjoy the song, Jim. You know, stop it. Stop
exactly.
Overthinking.
And we're real big fans of the Talking Heads, obviously. And like Remain in Light is a big touchstone album for us, where, you know, as long as the groove is there, you can do just about anything, you know, with the meter of the song. But if it doesn't groove, then you're kind of, then you turn into some weird prog band from the 70s, and we don't want to be that. So,
I noted down about this opening track, the bass playing. So tell us a little bit about the bass player in the band, John.
Well, that's my buddy Kreshmir, or Kresh. I've been making music with him since we were in college. So my buddy Nick and I, the drummer, we went to college at UMBC. And that's where we met Kreshmir. So we've been making music together ever since. And he is just one of he's a great, very sympathetic bass player. He picks up on things very quickly. He loves bands like Fish. You know, he's a big jam band guy. And he's so versatile. And he does a lot of really things that you don't hear bass players do a lot, which I love.
Yeah.
You know? He likes to play melodically, and we're like technically a 3-piece band, right? We have like components that come in, but in a 3-piece band, it's hard to be, I'm talking about me, it's hard to be the melodic player all the time. Like, I got to take a solo every song. I don't want to do that every song. And luckily I got guys like Kresh and guys like Nick who were able to shine individually, so it takes the spotlight off of me, which is great.
Yeah, there's some really cool melodic bass lines in this album, and especially on this first song. I think it's a great point about a trio. You do you do need to kind of all meet in the center, you know, at times, and let other elements bubble up and some, you know, lay back and carry the rhythm. So yeah, totally understand that. And it's a great opening track. It really is.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
It really is. It really grabs you. Yeah, I think we've talked about this before with different musicians, but in a trio, like, you know, you just have more space, right? So that can be a blessing or a curse, I guess, is how you look at it. But with you guys, it seems like you really take advantage of that space and everybody sort of gets to open it up a little bit. But you also do a really good job of it all coming together in a way that makes sense.
The interesting thing about this particular song is this is the only one that was recorded live. So...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So all the other songs, basically, we cut them as a trio and then added parts on top of it. But what you hear on this particular song, Structural Integrity, that was cut live. So the other guy that works with Nick and I on our podcast, you should check it out, Greg Lohman, he lives out in California, and he's a fantastic guitar player. He's a professional musician. He teaches, and he also plays in a Red Hot Chili Peppers tribute band, the Red Knot Chili Peppers. He was in town because his family lives in D.C. So he was in town for like a week. And we're like, oh, we'll come up to the practice space. And he was able to make it. And we showed him the song and he picked it up in about, I don't know, 30 seconds because he's good. And that's a live take of him. That's his first. That's the solo. The guitar solo on there is him doing that live for the first time, which, you know. So everything else is kind of pieced together, but that song, as you hear it, is how we tracked it.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more about Sleepers. You mentioned this a little bit already, but how did this band come together, and what is this band all about?
Yeah, so when 2011, 2010, something like that, Kreshmir and I lived down the street from each other in Baltimore, and we just would get together once or twice a week and do some studio recordings, and Sleepers was basically our... For lack of a better term, our Steely Dan project, because it was all studio. Like, we had no plans to play live. And we released our first album back in 2013, just completely DIY project, just us doing it together. And then we had, to finish the record, we had our buddy Nick come in and lay down some drums over top of these crappy electronic drums that we had on there. And that album turned out really well. And then after that album was released in 2013... We kind of went into a little bit of a period of hibernation because I had a kid, Kreshmir had a kid, Nick already had three kids. We all have full-time jobs. So we went into a little bit of a period of hibernation. And then we finally cranked the machine back up in maybe 2018 and started having some more regular practices, now with Nick included in the band. So it wasn't just a two-person studio project. And and then as soon as we were getting into our stride, that's when the pandemic hit. So
yeah, of course,
that put things on hold for quite a while because we weren't able to do. We were trying stuff. We were trying to jam online, like remotely, and that never works. So that got put on hiatus. But once the pandemic was over and we were able to get together again, then we had a new studio. Kresh had moved to a new place in Silver Spring. He put together this studio out in his sunroom, and we started recording then. So the work that's on this particular album is literally like 8 years in the making, and that doesn't mean it's better. It's just because we all have lives, you know, and it's not like we're like Guns N' Roses in the studio every day trying to like refine this thing. It's just we get together once a week, and whatever we get done that day, we get done. So it's been a long time coming. But again, to answer your question, it's primarily a studio band. But the reception to this particular album has been really great. And we're kind of trying to turn it into a live thing now. We had our debut a couple weeks ago at the Tacoma Park Folk Festival.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. And that went really well. Everybody seemed to really vibe to it. We had old people and young people dancing to our music, so our weird time signatures. So we'll see where it goes.
All right, let's move into the second song here. It's called Patrol. And this one's a little bit slower, or at least it starts off that way.
Captain.
The story on this song.
So this was a song that we just had the riff, and this is the only I typically tend to write lyrics myself, but I worked with my buddy Nick, the drummer, on this one because he wanted to write a song about the conflict in Ukraine. And at the time, we were worried that by the time this album was be released, that the war would be over and it wouldn't be relevant anymore. So that's a bummer. But yeah, it's kind of three vignettes from people involved in the conflict in Ukraine. So
interesting. I like the section where the lyrics are, "We touch the dirt, we touch the sky." The song seems to kind of open up for me anyway, as a listener, when you get to that part.
Yeah, that's kind of that's the middle finger in the air chorus, you know, Ukrainians to the Russians, right?
I like it a lot. Yeah,
I appreciate it, man.
Who plays the keyboards?
That, good question. That is actually Kreshmir, the bass player's mother, Milka Tokic.
What?
Yep. She's a elementary school music teacher in Silver Spring.
Wow.
And she's a fantastic musician. And she was like, "I'll put down some keyboards for you." So sure. So it's a family affair, man.
That is so cool.
Does she play keyboards throughout the album, or was it just this song?
A couple songs. I think she plays on Glaze as well, the next track, and Make It Stop, I want to say. But yeah, just a couple little twinkly bits throughout.
Well, that's what I liked about it. It's subtle, but it adds real texture to these songs,
yeah,
I think.
Nice.
Yeah, we have to be careful because we we're studio musicians, we're studio nerds, and we like adding stuff, but you can get to the point where you add so much that if you ever tried to play this song live, it wouldn't sound right. when we played at the Tacoma Park Folk Festival, we had to add another guitar player, and that's longtime friend Tim Youngworth, just because we did so many guitar overdubs that I had to have somebody else, you know, up filling those spots.
All right, you mentioned the song Glaze, the next track, so let's hear a little bit of that here.
Alone.
And I noticed in this one some really good guitar soloing. So is that you, John?
Not me. Man, I wish that... I can't play like that. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
No, so... Well,
so who is that?
Again, this is a family affair. I'm so glad you guys are asking these questions because nobody else... Everybody thinks it's just me playing guitar on that part, but it's not me. It's so we had Greg. I told you we had Greg on the first track, and his brother is also a professional musician. His younger brother, Austin, is a professional guitar player who lives up in Brooklyn, New York. And he's like a heavy jazz guy. Like he does like Alan Holdsworth, Pat Martino, Pat Metheny, like fusion guitar stuff. So we just thought it would be funny. Well, we had Greg doing like the ripping guitar solo on the first track. Let's get his brother on. And initially that middle jam section, it was me playing like a fumbling guitar solo and then a guy from down the street playing like a Rhodes piano solo. And we were just like, nah, this doesn't have enough stuff to it. So we just told Austin to go ape on that part. And he did. And then the first part of the solo section sounded so good that then the second part, which was just like this dreamy Rhodes piano solo, it just didn't go anywhere. So I'm scratching my head. I'm like, oh, I can't do anything better than what Austin did. How about we have a Loman guitar battle? So the first half of that is Greg's younger brother, Austin. And then the second half is actually Greg. So it's a Loman guitar battle over that jam section.
Brother nice. Against brother.
That's right.
I love that. You know, what I wrote down was John McLaughlin on that.
Yeah.
So when
well,
you were talking about Matheny, yeah.
Yep.
I could, you know, knowing your podcast and knowing your background, I definitely could see you guys being into Mahavishnu Orchestra and John McLaughlin and stuff like that. But that totally resonated with me, and I dug it. That's the one I starred out Glaze to play on my radio show on Rockin' the Suburbs Radio. So that will be definitely going on
nice.
The Red Hot and Brew Gram for sure.
Sweet. Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate it,
man.
I loved it. Yeah,
thanks,
I loved
man.
It.
Was that the single from the album? Do you guys do that? Did you have like a designated like
what
single?
What was the single? I think if there was one, it would be either TV Town. I think TV Town was the one that everybody seemed to think was the quote unquote single. But no, we just released them all at the same time.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Okay, very good. Okay, so then from Glaze, we go to track 4, which is Real Cities. I wrote down, this sounds like an odd time signature. Was it an odd time signature?
No, that was just in 4.
Or was that more straightforward? It just has that, but it has a, there's something about it, right? That just feels different than your standard four.
It's off kilter. The guitar, the way the guitar and the bass interact with the drums makes it kind of sound a little lopsided, I guess.
There's like some syncopation or something going on there, right?
I was talking about Dismemberment Plan earlier. This is our Dismemberment Plan track, you know.
Got it. Okay. Well, I wrote down that it reminds me of something, but I can't figure out what. So I guess you just answered that question. And then I also wrote down, is that a vibraphone?
It is. Wow, good ears. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, right, absolutely. Nice, Jim.
So where'd that come from?
Oh, man, this was such a fun day. This was probably, of all the, other than recording Structural Integrity with Greg in the studio, the day that we did. So Kreshmir is just a beautiful person because he knows a lot of cool musicians in the D.C. area. And I had never met this gentleman before, but we usually get together on Thursdays, and Kresh said, "Oh yeah, I got this guy coming over to play vibraphones tonight." I'm like, "What? Okay, awesome, great, fantastic." And this dude shows up. His name is Bill Dimp, and he plays in a band. And I'm sorry, I think it's the Swivomatics. I don't know, but they're a cool like surf band, and he plays vibraphone and a bunch of other instruments in this surf band. And he came over with the whole rig. And he's like, "Okay, what songs do you want me to play on?" And I'm like, I don't know. Let's try Real City. So he did it, and he was just so sympathetic, and he tried everything, and it just fit. And then he was also, the same night, he was like, "I also have this cool Roland Space Echo." Like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this guitar. It's like a guitar processor, but it's one that actually has like a reel-to-reel tape machine in it. Like, it's the old Echo machine. And he's like, "We can put some of that stuff on there." So like you hear like the weird echoes and kind of dub sounding delay sounds in there.
Yeah.
That's all Bill Temp. This guy just sat there, and we just sat there like, "Whoa, he's making this sound so cool." That was a fun night. Shout out to Bill Temp.
That's very cool. Okay. Moving on. Track 5. Make It Stop.
I was listening to the album, John, and like, okay, you know, I listen to a lot of music. I kind of got a handle on where these guys are coming from. You know, I feel like fairly comfortable with this. Then all of a sudden, Make It Stop comes on, and I'm getting these almost classic rock kind of melodic vibes to it. And I was not expecting that at all, man. I really wasn't. I thought that was just great.
Yep.
I mean, I was just getting, you know, 70s and 80s FM radio with all those kind of classic songs that you heard then and kind of forgot about, but they're still there. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, I don't, you know.
It's so funny you say that because I wrote down this is the most straightforward song so far.
Oh, interesting.
Well, I think this is a byproduct of when you squeeze a sponge for 8 years, right? We've been working on this album for 8 years. All the influences are going to come out, right? So that was a song that just started as a jam. We were just all playing together, and I just started playing that opening guitar riff. And I swear to God, those chords came together in one pass. I threw some lyrics. That was the easiest song to write on the entire thing. But you're right. That's the one that probably shows my influences more than some of the other ones. Because that's, you're right, it's a pretty straight ahead song. But it came together pretty quickly. But
cool.
I like that it's in the center of the record too, which is kind of nice. You know,
well,
it's kind of like the chewy center of the album for me.
It's the pivot point. It's the pivot point of the album. It's also the end of side A, right? So
that's right.
When we made the track order, I threw this track order together, crash switched one song, and then all of a sudden we looked at it and we're like, oh, so side A is like our dark, weird prog side, and then side B is like the happy side. All the happy, like more normal songs are on side B, and all of the weird, dark prog songs are on the first side. It just kind of turned out that way.
That's cool. And we should mention at this point, right, Jim, that vinyl is available on not only this one, the new one, but the older one, although it looks like supplies are dwindling
I think we got about six of the first record left.
Okay.
But we got plenty of the new one. So if you guys are interested.
Yeah, it looks sweet on white vinyl, too. Yeah.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, white vinyl.
Yeah, so where can people get the vinyl records?
Yeah, you can hop on our Bandcamp page. Sleepers MD for Sleepers Maryland .bandcamp.com and we have, like I said, a couple copies of the first record, but plenty of copies of the first one. You get a free sticker, you get a free button with the package. Pretty inexpensive, nice piece of vinyl made in Baltimore at Morpheus Records. They did a great job for us. So
very nice. And then, of course, people can stream the music at your Bandcamp page or also stream it on any of the major streaming services.
Yeah, we're up on all the big guys and on YouTube and all that stuff.
That's great.
Oh, yeah, by the way, he called them M-Hat and L-Hat.